It's The Streets on Radio 1. It's about 5 minutes now to 12 o'clock. So we've just said goodbye to Bono and to Edge. They're going to have to get a cup of tea, but they will be back in a very short while. We're going to be joined by Adam and Larry very shortly. Oh, Adam's just walking in now.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. Hi. I'm all right, thank you. Do you want to take a seat? Sorry, I'll just shake hands over here. Are you well?
I am.
You look very well. Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm very happy to be here today. We're having a lovely time, thank you.
Than the last time you were here?
The last time I was here, I've tried to erase that from my mind, apart from the hospitality. We had a great time, but we had a bit of a technical,
technical hitch.
We did. But lovely studios. You must have some amazing memories, because you're moving on. Bono and Edge were just saying that you're having to move out of these studios.
Yeah, people tell me I've amazing memories.
Yeah, of course, you don't remember them.
Are you talking about of the studio?
Of the studio, your time here, yeah.
Yeah, of the studio. Well, as much as you can be affectionate about a workplace...
This is more than a workplace.
Well, yes, it's a kitchen of flavours, really, isn't it? When we first chose the area about 10... Well, it was more like 8 years before we moved here. Mm. It was very peaceful. There wasn't all this building going on around that you can see out the windows and everything.
Lots of concrete going on.
Yep, south-facing, on the water, you know, a prime piece of real estate. And it's convenient for all of us to get here. It's 20 minutes from home. It's just a perfect spot. Now, when we're actually here, we're not exactly enjoying the view. We're out windsurfing. You know, we're actually trying to make exciting, relevant music. But,
yeah.
But it is good.
Yeah. And when did you first come here?
Oh, I think we first recorded Passengers, which was 98...
You don't want me to go down the memory route, do you? You don't want me to test you at all.
Not really. No.
But this album, though, must have been a whole enjoyable experience. That's the sense that you get.
It was.
Were there some big rucks as well?
No, it was very enjoyable. I mean, we did come off, you know, a great record and a great tour. And we said, OK, we want to make an up rock and roll record with some...
Done that.
With some tunes that, you know, can get played on the radio.
Some soft tender bits as well.
Yeah, you know, and we had a lot of help from various people. We had Jackknife Lee, we had Steve Lillywhite come in. We started the process with Chris Thomas.
When you're doing this, is there an awful lot of angst between you all? Do you kind of a lot of head scratching and people walking out in the middle of the night going, oh, we just can't do it, and suck?
There's always a bit like three quarters of the way through where you kind of go, okay, do we have a record here? Mm-hmm. Can we finish it in time? And, you know, is everything broken? And then, you know, you kind of reconstruct it from that point.
Okay, I did notice there's a big board where you've kind of written comments about different tracks, and there's one that said Starstruck, I think, and it just said, is this good enough?
That sounds like an Edge comment.
Really? We're going to play a track off the album now. Which one would you like to go for?
Have you slowed it down yet? Have you had some touch you can't make?
No, we haven't, no.
Okay.
Should we have a slow, tender moment?
Let's have that.
Okay, then, all right. So this is track 3 on the album. This is Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own. It's a truly great record, that really is. It's Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own. The more you hear that, it's kind of up there with one, I think, for me now. It really is.
Thanks, John.
Got Adam from U2 here with us at the moment. What's the story behind that track?
Well, this was a tune that was left over from All That You Can't Leave Behind. And Bono had started the lyric then, and I think he had most of the melody in place. But we just didn't finish it for that record. It didn't come together. And then subsequently, his father had passed on during the course of the tour. And at the funeral, he performed an acoustic version of it with Edge. And then when we started to work on this record, Edge changed a couple of chords. We played around with it for a bit, and it was a bit of a struggle to kind of make the music work. But we knew there was a great song in there somewhere. And then in the end, Nellie Hooper went through all the bits and put it together and came up with this mix, which is just fantastic.
That's very poignant, very touching indeed. Yeah. Robbie Williams, who puts on incredible shows, I've just finished reading his book, he talks about his loathing and utter dread of touring, of actually getting out on stage. Is that some... Can you understand where he's coming from? Or are you someone who absolutely loves getting up there and performing in front of the crowd?
that's a lot of questions all at once. I'm not sure that I'm a natural performer, but being a musician, being on the road and travelling and doing shows is kind of part of what you do. So I really enjoy that. I enjoy the lifestyle of travelling and moving on and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So what do you carry with you when you're, you know, just keep you sane, to keep you in touch with things too?
Oh, pyjamas.
Pyjamas.
They're very important.
Didn't they say he slept naked? I'm sure. No. and a toothbrush.
Actually, sadly, these days I tend to travel with my own tea.
Your own tea? What's that?
It's just, if you're in America, they're not very good at making tea.
Right.
So you kind of learn to bring your own tea bags and then you can have a real proper cuppa.
Okay, so home comfort's important.
But I do travel with a stereo and all my favourite CDs and that kind of stuff.
Okay, what are you listening to at the moment? Are you not an iPod person?
I'm not yet an iPod person. I actually quite like all the tangible stuff of CDs and looking at them and stuff. And I also like the discipline of actually having to just have a certain selection for certain moments. So, I mean, at the moment, that Kings of Leon record is fantastic.
Oh, I played that earlier on, yes. Great record.
And I actually like the 2220s. I mean, I know they've been around for, a
little while.
But
yet to have their big break.
Yeah, but I think that's got great energy, so I'm really into that. Razorlight, fantastic.
Yeah, really good live band. Get them supporting you on the next tour, I think. Definitely. We'll play some more tracks and then we'll talk more after this, okay? Anyway, we're in Dublin, all kind of getting disorientated at the moment because we're here with you two. They're going to be playing tonight. You can hear them playing on Zane Show. Obviously, you haven't managed to get yourself there because it's a very tight audience, very exclusive audience, but you can hear it in all its glory live tonight on the Zane from 7 o'clock in the evening. So we've got Adam here at the moment. I just want to go through some of the texts that have come through at the moment. There is the obvious question about what is your favourite song off this new album? Is it the one that we just played, Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own, or is there another moment for you?
Actually, no, it's definitely Man and a Woman, because it's just such a quirky, unusual thing for you two to do.
Hang on, which track number is that? Is that towards the end?
It's
in the middle.
Middle,
seven,
yeah.
Because it's just so quirky.
It's quirky, it's unusual for us to do, and I think we pull it off really well. I think it's going to be a great one.
Yeah. Larry's just walked in as well. Morning.
Morning, Job.
You need to button up your shirt, because it's not entirely done up. It's cold. How are you?
Good. Don't want to get too excited in the morning.
Well, button up then, quickly.
I'm working on this. Sorry about that.
Thank you for coming in. Obviously, the others were bitching that they had to get in early. Bono and Edge, they got here early, and you stroll in at 12:15.
The way it should be.
The way it should be. They were knocking the rhythm section,
I
obviously.
Spent 25 years in this band. I've spent at least 23 of them hanging around.
So make them wait.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're good and well.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And you?
I'm obviously very happy to be here. I've had a look around the studios today. They were saying also the yellow motorbike. There's a little tiny yellow motorbike in the room next door.
Right.
Okay, and they were saying that was yours.
No, it's not mine.
The Ladybird pencil case that you can see somewhere around the fluffy pencil case? Not yours?
That's not mine.
Motorcycle helmet?
That's mine.
That is yours. Okay. Whose is the motorbike then?
It was a gift from our good friend next door.
I think it's for a small person, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's an adult.
But I've seen people riding these things and they just look ridiculous. I mean, they look like they're made for 3-year-olds, but then grown people get on them. But you've never tried it out?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
All right, then, we're going to talk more in just a sec. I'll play Scissor Sisters first of all.
I love the tone.
It's Scissor Sisters, of course, and that was Mary. So we've got Larry and Adam from U2 here at the moment. Larry, your state of mind after this album, kind of, this point in time, poised to go and plug this for the next 12 months?
Yeah, it's always the sort of a transition period between the time you finish a record and then get prepared to play it live, and you sort of, you have to rediscover the songs, because a lot of them are a year old or maybe
really?
Even longer than that, yeah. So this is, I've spent the last 3 weeks with a CD of the music on the right side and the drum track on the left. So in my car, that's all I've been listening to for the last 3 weeks. So when I go to bed at night, I've got on the left side of my brain the drum kit and the right side the music, and it's been a little disconcerting. But that's all I've been doing, and that's kind of part of the process. So you start to look at the songs and interpret them in a new way. So it's been
until you're totally living it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
How do you feel about this album?
I went through a period afterwards, sort of, where after spending so much time working on the record, and lifetimes happen during the making of a record, and children get born and all kinds of things go on, and you become quite emotional about the record. Well, I do at least. So when it's finished, you got to kind of let it go. And you know, we were down in France and we finished the record, and the record was playing over and over and people were listening to it, and I just found it really hard to listen to, because every time, each song had a different memory. Some of them were difficult and some of them were easy. And so I'm just now that I'm deconstructing the songs to relearn them, they've lost a little bit of the emotional thing.
The intensity.
So it's good. I'm happy with the
More
record.
Enjoyable.
And I mean, as Bono said, you need to have 11 very good reasons to, you know, pack up your bags and leave your family and go and, you know, touring your ass around the world.
How does that feel for you and for your family? Because they must sort of get to this point where they have to come to terms with kind of losing you for a certain amount of time. It must be really hard.
I think it's a compromise. You know, the whole thing is a compromise. And I think it takes real strength of character for those who are left behind to, you know, to tolerate. But my real concern, I suppose, is, you know, you know your kids are your real concern. You know, you want to be around for them and whatever. But, I mean, we're in a, you know, it's a luxurious position that we can afford to bring our families out for periods of time, and if they need to spend time with us, you know, so we can do that. But,
And do they find it tremendously exciting as well, your kids? Right?
They have no idea and no interest, really, which is actually quite good.
At what age are they?
Well, I've got a 9-year-old down to a 4-year-old, so...
Oh, the 9-year-old must be quite excited.
No, not that interested at all. Much prefers football.
Really?
And I encourage that. I'm much happier if he plays football. I'd much prefer to manage him when he's like 17 and get out of this rock and roll business.
Okay, I'm going to play a track. Your track of choosing, which one do you want to go for?
I think All Because of You.
For what reason?
I very... distinct memories of this because it was written in France, a small studio in France, and Edge had a sort of the spark of an idea, and we worked with it just after the last tour, and there was a drum part and there was a bass part, and it all, you know, it was just this piece, and over the year it moved on and became the song, but just as we were close to finishing it, Edge said, "You know that drum beat that you do on it? It's not quite right." And I said, "Well, what are you talking
about?"
Did
you take that well?
And he pulled out the original tape, and then original tapes, like 6 or 7 of them, and basically he had it all written out in line, said, "That's the drum part I want you to play." And I couldn't tell the difference, but he could. And anyway, that's why the Edge is the Edge.